Remain standing with me, if you will. Take your Bibles, Philippians chapter number 3. We'll read verses 14 through verse number 21 this evening, responsively. Philippians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 14. I'll read verse 14. You'll join me on verse 15. We'll read like that all the way through the end of the chapter, verse number 21. Philippians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 14, the Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We do thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for the folks that are in it. Lord, love each and every one. Lord, and all of us are appreciative of one another. Lord, we wouldn't be here, though, if it wasn't for you, Lord, the salvation that you've given us. Lord, thank you for it. Lord, thank you for a church, Lord, founded on truth. We hear the word of God being preached. Lord, a lot of us have a lot of things in our mind. We come from different walks of life. Lord, this evening, as we hear the word of God being preached, may our minds be focused on it, the truths that are in its pages. Holy Spirit, we'll yield ourselves to you as we hear the man of God preach. We ask that you'd fill him with your power. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I challenge you, if you missed this morning's sermon, to listen to it when it gets online. It'll be a great help to you. Now, tonight's sermon, I want to focus you for a minute. I'm going to need your brains for a little bit. For some of you, that's going to be a lot of work. For some of you, it's no work because there's nothing there to work with. But silly putty, preacher. Anyway, I am not a long-distance runner. I have never enjoyed long-distance running. Matter of fact, I think you could say I've hated it. I don't enjoy running long distances. That's why I played baseball, 90 feet at a time. Amen. That's all you had to do. To me, soccer's stupid. You got to run all that time and you don't get to lay anybody out and kill them. If I'm going to run that far, I want to hit something and kill it. Amen. It just didn't make any sense to me. But I was forced to do some long distance running when I was in school growing up, PE class, that kind of thing. But even then, I hated it. I've got a bad hip, and that doesn't help. And I get that. And with a bad hip, you're not a good runner in any sense of the word as far as long distances. But I've just never seen anybody jogging that's happy. You know, if you're going to put yourself through that much torture, well, it's healthy, preacher. Did you know everybody dies? I'm going to die with less miles on my feet that way is all I can tell you. Now, even though I hate running, I do know some things about it. One of the things that you learn in long distance running is something they call pacing yourself. Pace is, let's say you have to run 4 laps on a quarter mile to make a mile for a mile run. I guess they would call it a 1,500 meter run these days because they want to be politically correct, but we called it the mile run. That is this. You don't just start off in a sprint, because if you start off like it's a 100-yard dash, guess what? You ain't going to make it. So you have to know what pace you can run in order to finish the race. Associated with pace is something that they taught us when I was in school, and I've talked to many long-distance runners, and many of them have said this. With pace, you have to understand you always save a little bit for that last quarter lap or half lap. Really, the race is won and lost on that last lap. Horse racing is much the same. If you notice in a horse race that they don't run multiple laps, but what they do is that last turn or that last quarter of the race is when the horses really kick it in gear. And that's where things really start getting exciting, and they call it that final kick. You want to get that extra kick at the end. You want to have enough left to sprint at the end. Now that final portion of things, that last half lap or that last quarter lap, that last part of it is the important thing. Now, I believe in Philippians chapter 3, the Bible says, I press toward the mark. It's a running term. In other words, I'm running towards, I'm running this race. Matter of fact, in I believe it's 1 Timothy, it says, running the race that is set before us. I think that's Hebrews, actually. Sorry. That's Hebrews chapter 12. But I press toward the mark. What's that? That's the finish line. Now watch this. I believe that we are in the final lap before Jesus comes. The signs are here, folks. Things are getting creepier and creepier. Things are getting more and more established for Antichrist. One world government is getting closer and closer. Our president just left a meeting of G20 or G whatever this or G whiz or something. And they at that meeting, they were discussing a global tax. You realize they want to globally tax every business in the world 20%? What for? Get ready. The world is getting worse and worse. By the way, God told us in the Bible it would. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God told us that in the end days, things were going to get worse and worse. He didn't say they're going to get better and better. Now, may I say something? How about we give it our best on this last lap? How about we save that final kick for now, and it's time to kick it in gear? Bad, oppressive governments, COVID, liberal socialism, the news media, the mixed up gender issues, the woke generation, the sissified society of today should not make us want to quit. It ought to make us want to run a little faster. Or as my preacher used to say, what's some little sodomite going to do, hit you with his purse? You think I'm going to be afraid of that? It means it's time for us to speed up. It's not time for us to shut church down. It's not time for Christians to try to be politically and community correct. It's time for us to preach truth and righteousness and not back off. Folks, there you are going to try to spin everything to race. I told you a year and a half ago when they started taking down Civil War statues that they are trying to get rid of our history so that they can now be the oppressors for a new Civil War. Are you seeing it take place? CNN announcer today on the news said, oh, this thing about education in Virginia, in the election in Virginia, it really isn't about education. It's about white people hating black people. That's what he said. Yeah. As a matter of fact, lives 10 houses away from Randy and Leanne. Good lady, by the way. I'm for that lady, and I'd go vote for her for president almost. I like that little lady. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? It's not time for the church and Christian people to slow down and let everybody else do their thing. It's time for us to kick it in gear and give it that final lap. I don't know about you, but when it's time to go to heaven, I don't want to be sitting on the couch. I want to be sprinting. I don't want to be rolled over dead, crying in fear. I want to just be sprinting to the end. I want to give it everything I've got to the last final moment. I don't plan on retiring. I plan on retreading. I get a little sick and tired of preachers who are retiring. Sorry, I think preacher ought to go down preaching. He might not be able to pastor, but he could keep on preaching to the end. I love Brother Cowardin down in Florida. 88 years old. I talked to him this week. His wife's dying of kidney failure. He retired at 75, moved to another city in Florida, and the week he got there, the pastor resigned. He stepped up and started taking the church and has been pastoring that church for 13 years. He had 3 people baptized last week. 88 years old. I love the guy. He said, preacher, he said, keep at it. Keep at it. He said, I'm an old man, but keep at it. You're encouraging me. I thought, man, I'm encouraging you. You're 88. You're encouraging me. Convicted me a little bit. I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't know about you, but I want to sprint to the end. You know, the old cowboys used to say, I want to die with my cowboy boots on. Well, I want to die with my Bible in my hand, preaching behind the pulpit. I don't prefer to do it publicly, but figuratively speaking, all right? Now, let me give you just 3 thoughts tonight. It won't be long, but I want to help you. Number one, we all have a race to run. We all have a race to run. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Had a frog in my throat and he crossed his legs. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go to verse number 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. I want you to notice what it says here. He said, I have finished the course. That means there was a course that needed to be run, a fight, and then there's also a course that needed run. Can I tell you something? I can't ask you to run my race. I have to run my race. I can't ask him to run my race. He has his own race to run. And each and every one of us have a race that needs run. May I say it something? I'm not to run my race for you. I'm to run my race for him. I want to run my race and run it well, not for myself. I want to run it well for the Lord. I love my wife, but I'm not to run my race for her. I'm to run it so that I run well. Brother Barnes and I were out making visits yesterday, and we were talking. Can you imagine what the millennium's going to be like? Remember, we leave here, we go to heaven for 7 years and come back, and we rule and reign with Jesus. I hope I get Jefferson and Berkeley County to run when I come back. There are going to be people cleaning sewers with toothbrushes. I'm not kidding. But think about this. We earn our positions for the millennium by how we live our Christian life today. When it talks about us casting crowns before his feet, I preached a whole sermon on this. This doesn't mean that everybody's going to take the crown off and throw it at Jesus. What's he going to do with millions of crowns? What it means is this: when you cast your crown before him, the word cast means to put down, to bring back. If you're casting your fishing line, you're not throwing it out there and walking away. You throw it out to bring it back. It literally means you are kneeling in submission before him. He is the king on the throne. We will run things as he wishes, and we'll go do and run this world like he wanted it run to begin with. The world will be put back to like it was in the days of Eden. Amen. Guess who gets to run it? Us. We'll be the politicians. We get to run the world. Man, that's going to be fun. I wish Nancy Pelosi would live that long. It might be worth it. No, I don't wish it that much. The race is your life. Your life is a race. And God gave you your life, and you are to run your race well. Can I tell you something? No two races are the same. No two races are the same. Some races are just a sprint. Some people's lives are very short. Some races are just a sprint. Some are a marathon. In my case, I think it's an Ironman. There's just a multiplicity of things, or a decathlon. There are many different types of races. Now listen to this statement. No two races are the same. Let's not judge somebody else based on the race we are running. Brother Josh, stand up here for a second. He and I run similar races, but guess what? We run different races. We're not to be running the same race. I'm not to be judging him based on my race. Do you know that he has not had the experience in his background that I have? He hasn't had all the things in his life that I've had. Now, for about 30 years of it, he's had it. But I had 20-some years before him that he didn't have. And really, if you add up the time where he was, I was going to say intelligent, but we haven't reached that yet. When he was a child and things, when he was not mature enough yet, there's a lot of years there that he did not have that I had. But wait a minute. He has things in his race I did not have. Why should I compare his race to my race? Thank you. Have a seat. See, but you run a similar race, preacher. Yes, but he started farther behind than I did. He started with a different background than I did. And we're not to compare one another. Does that make sense to each other? All right, now hang on here. Parents, grandparents, listen to this statement. We're not to live our race through the lives of our children or our grandchildren. I'm getting pretty weary of parents trying to live their second childhood through their kids. Well, I'm going to make sure my son is a professional sports athlete. How are you going to do that when you didn't make it there? Everybody doing okay? And by the way, there is a far more to life than professional sports. Amen. That is one of the dumbest goals in life. Amen. It really is. Do you know I'm just as proud of my son Jeff as I am this one? He's an E3 in the Air Force. I'm proud of him. He's making something of his life, and he's serving his country, serving humans, serving mankind. I'm for it. Well, he's not in the ministry. I didn't ask him to get in the ministry. We don't need mama called, papa sent preachers. We need men of God who God called, not who mommy and daddy called. Amen. And who are you to tell your kids that they're supposed to do something? Amen. Just because they don't do what you want to do doesn't mean they're not doing what God wants them to do. How about you back off and let them run their race? Amen. You say, well, I don't agree with their race. It's not for you. It's not your race. It's theirs. They answer to God for it, not you.
That's right.
You were the one that taught them how to run. Let them run the race.
Amen.
Did you know not everybody's the same educationally? Some of y'all, if you got a C, you were excited. If you passed, you were excited. You know, if you got a D minus, it was victory time, yo. Wave the flag. Now, there are those of you that if you got a B, you were crying. Not for joy either. It was a bad day. Now, that wasn't me. I was a solid AB student with a few C's thrown in there. I've never been a straight A student. I graduated from high school with a 3.17, graduated from college with a 3.17. I was a solid B student, BB plus student. I got a lot of A's. I got a few C's. I wasn't real happy with the C's, but I didn't get any D's. Amen. And I wasn't a terrible student, but I was very busy. I stayed very busy. Some of you, you were straight A students. God bless you. There was more to life than getting straight A's to me. And I'm for it. I'm for the work that goes into it. But can I tell you something? Not everybody's made up the same way. And I don't believe, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I don't think everybody should go to college.
Amen.
I think they need to shut down about 3/4 of the colleges in our country today.
Amen.
And I think we need to get back to putting vocational schools
Amen.
In, vocations in high school, teach people how to use their hands and work.
Amen.
Okay, I got that off my plate. Can I tell you something? I don't think we ought to compare children in education either. Just because they were hatched from the same parents doesn't mean that they have the same brains.
Amen.
Good night, I had 3 of those puppies, and I think there was 4 of them in brains. Because ain't none of them ever thought the same way. I've taught at grade school level, junior high level. They have 0 brains in junior high. You get to the high school level, college level, adult level. Can I tell you something? No 2 people think the same way.
That's right.
Quit comparing your kids. Don't try to live your lack of education through your kids.
Amen.
Ouch. That one hurt, didn't it? Can I tell you something? You're not to live your spirituality through your kids either. Everybody look at me for a moment here. I'm really going to get in trouble in this one, Brother Josh. America has competed herself to death.
That's right.
I'm not real good at Brother Mike, the older I get, the more I hate competition. Because it becomes a pride thing. I love this young man. I think he has unlimited potential. I think he is a great man of God, and I'm glad we've got him. You say, well, is he more spiritual than you? Hope so. What do you mean, preacher? I hope God uses him to do more in his life and ministry than he has me. I'm not in competition with him. Son, if you have more people saved in your ministry, I'll be your biggest cheerleader. I really will. Say why? I'm not in competition with him. Everybody doing okay? Too many of us want to compete spiritually. You want to compare and make sure that those under you are more spiritual than you were, and I think that's a good thing, but don't compare them. Number 2. So number 1, we all have a race to run. Number 2, not everyone is in the same place or the same starting place as you were. So be patient and let them run their race. Do you know there are people in this room? Let's see, Aaron, you're what, 44, 45? Man, you're just a baby. You don't look like it either. More like baby Huey, but... now, wait a minute. Brother Aaron's only about 9 years younger than I. But do you know that at the age of 45, I started this church? They just got baptized a few weeks ago. They've just been saved for a few weeks. There's no way I should compare him to where I was at the age of 45.
Amen.
I had already been preaching for over 30 years by the time I was his age. It's not fair for me to say, come on, get with it. You see, too many of you, you want to look at everybody and say, well, they ought to know by now. Hang on. Maybe they didn't start the race at the same place you started. Maybe you ought to understand that some of these little boys and girls, they're getting it. They're getting it in junior church, and they're getting it in Sunday school, and they're learning and they're growing. And some of you parents ought to be thankful that they're just growing right now.
Amen.
Let them be kids. Let them grow. They're not going to look how spiritual I am. But I tell you what, you ought to thank God for kids that do understand being spiritual. You're going to find out if it wasn't for a teenager, Miss Mung would have never got saved. There are people in this church that children invited to come that had their life totally transformed. Those little children that put tracks down and get tracks out to people, and they're learning and they're growing and they're obeying their mom and dad in public. They have an impact on our area. Now, listen to this very carefully here. The worst thing to do in a race is look around and look at your competition. Do you know one of the things you should not do if you're running is to look around and see who's behind you? Say why? You're going to fall down and bust your face. Most of you can't even run. But you're definitely not going to be running and turn your head. I'm not looking at anybody on that one. my secretary will get me in trouble. When you look around at your competition, you're slowing down. And why are you worried about your competition? How about you just run the race that is set before you? Listen to this. Realize that not everyone started at the same time or in the same place as you did. Brother Mike, be very unfair of me to compare you and I together. First 27 years of his life, he spent in the world, lost, drinking, drugs, everything else that you can imagine. By the time I was his age, after he got saved, at the age of 29, I was working in the world's largest Sunday school and church. I had been preaching for 14 years by the time he got saved. That'd be an unfair competition, wouldn't it? That's like some of you big goons playing baseball with a four-year-old. Well, I could strike him out. Well, la-di-da. If you can't strike out a four-year-old, what good are you? Now, wait a minute. Just because you could do that. My wife was playing games with Hunter the other day at his birthday party. Now, me, I want to win everything. She was trying to help him win. That ain't fair. Guess what? Wasn't my game, wasn't my race. She can run her race her way, amen? Now me, you're going to earn it for me, dude. I ain't giving up. I'm going down fighting all the way, man. Now wait a minute. If you have time to look around, you're probably not running your race very well. Boy, I've been around some track coaches. Watch these guys. Man, I've watched them run up to somebody and scream and holler and get somebody's face running backwards saying, you have no right looking around. Don't look back. You just keep running. Run harder. And I mean, okay. I watch football coaches do that. I've watched them lay out quarterbacks before. You say, why? Because they were looking around to see where the defensive linemen were. No, throw the ball. Play the play. Get hit. It's worth it. Man, I watched a football coach one day lay out a quarterback. Can't do that in that today's world. That would be cruelty. Yeah, I watched him call him a few names I should never repeat in public, nor would I want to ever say in public. He said, you want to worry about somebody hitting you? Let's line up. Boy, he lined up. The coach lined up, went right through the line, and laid out the quarterback and said, now, that's what it feels like to get hit. Now throw the ball. I don't think they ought to coach that way. Well, they had a good team. Quarterback wasn't looking around anymore. He was looking for somebody to throw the ball to instead of who to run away from. Quit worrying about what others are doing in their race. Run your race. Too many of us are trying to compare ourselves with this church, that Christian, that person. Ladies, quit trying to compare yourself to some other lady.
Amen.
I loved Dr. Jack Hiles. He was a dear friend of mine. He was a hero of mine. But guess what? My name is not Jack Hiles. I don't compare myself to him. I love Dr. Jeff Fugit. He's my dear friend. But guess what? I don't compare myself to him. I'm not Dr. Jeff Fugit. Everybody doing okay? I love my friends, but God didn't call me to be them. He called me to be me. I must run the race that's set before me. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. So, number one, we all have a race to run. Number two, not everybody's in the same place or starting at the same place as you. Be patient as they run their race. Did you know children need time to learn how to run? I love you, but listen to me. Just because some of you grew up unsaved doesn't mean that children growing up in church have the same temptations that you had. Some of you grew up around drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and everything else, but you didn't bring your children up in that. Now watch this. They don't have those temptations and they're not tempted by it.
No.
I look at somebody drinking booze and think, y'all are stupid.
That's right.
I've seen drunk people enough. I want nothing to do with that mess. And drugs, that's even dumber.
Yep.
Who in the world wants to pump poison into you and die? And smoking really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Who wants to go out in the field, dry some grass, put it in a piece of paper and light it on fire and suck it in and die of cancer? If God wanted you to smoke, he'd put a chimney on your head. Let's face it. It really doesn't. And God knows chewing tobacco is even nuttier. My grandpa did that. He was a mail pouch man. I remember one summer. About 95 degrees out in Ohio. We were sweating. We were out with Grandpa. I bugged him and bugged him and bugged him. My dad said, go ahead, let him. Man, I put a bunch of that in my mouth, thought I was the man. But you know, there's only so long you can hold that nasty taste in your mouth. And I didn't know that they spit that stuff. And I went, and after about the second, I was wondering if I could hold all that stuff in. I spit that stuff out. Two swallows of that, you're done for life. Amen. You should have been done with the first swallow, but I was stubborn. Second swallow took care of it for good. Why in the world anybody wants to put that mess in their mouth? It does not make sense to me. Now, wait a minute. Do you know I'm not tempted by those things? I'm really not. I grew up in a home where it just wasn't the thing to do. And when you grow up around truth and righteousness, those kinds of bad things don't tempt young people as bad. I'm not saying that it's not a temptation and it doesn't need taught, but don't fear that they're going to fall into it like you did through your life. They have a grounding you didn't have. So quit being so fearful about it. Let them live. Let them have some fun. Number three, and I got to hurry here, run as quickly as you can, but save a little for that sprint at the end. Can I tell you something? We're at the end. It's time to kick it in gear. It's kind of like that horse race, and they're getting around that third turn, and they're coming down the backstretch, and they're getting ready to come into turn number four, and it's time to get the whip going. Yeah! Time to kick it in gear. Time to give them their head and just let them roll. Now, can I tell you something? Don't criticize somebody who's running a different pace than you. I think it was the horse secretariat. I don't remember. But there was a Triple Crown winner that every race that horse ran, he was at about last place or next to last place till they hit the third turn. I mean, that horse, they kept saying, oh, he's going to lose. And that horse would hit the third turn. And all of a sudden, something hit in that horse. And he decided, it's time to get to the front of the pack. And he would just go, zoom. And he won the Kentucky Derby by 30 lengths. But he started in the back of the pack. For the first three turns, he was last. But something kicked into that horse's head that it was time to giddy up. Here we go. And it was like, watch this, y'all. And on he went. That's me. I may have run slow for a while, but I've been pacing myself. It's time to run pretty fast now. Can I tell you something? Some people are what they call rabbits. The rabbits are those in the race that set the pace. They try to wear out the good horses fast. They try to run out the good runners and think that they're going to run past them and they're going to hold that pace. No, you hold your pace. You keep going. Those guys that come out too fast, they're going to peter out about halfway through that race. They gave it all they had to try to get you to run faster than you're supposed to run. Run the race that's set before you. Run the race that is set before you. Brother Randy, I can't run your race. I can run my race. I can encourage you to run your race, but I can't run your race for you. You can't run my race. Brother Scott, you can't run my race, but I can help you, encourage you to run your race, but I can't run it for you. Can I tell you something? Let everybody run their race and quit criticizing them. Let them run. They're the ones that have to cross the finish line. By the way, I would rather cross the finish line than to quit the race. I don't have to come in first place. I just want to finish the race. Too many of you think if you don't cross first that you failed. Maybe sometimes in God's mind, finishing the race is the most important part. One of the best runners in world history, first name was Jim, broke the 4-minute mile. Dad, do you remember who it was? Don't ask somebody that age. can't remember his name. It may have been Thorpe, but I don't think that was it. But may have been, but he was in the Olympics. He was supposed to win the World Olympics, and he began to run, and they got to the third lap of this thing, and he got tangled up with a guy and fell down. And the rest of the pack ran off. Well, the guy that he got tangled up with crawled off the side of the track and just laid there. This man got up, bloodied, and he started running. He was not going to finish first place. The race was over and he was half a lap behind, but he kept running. When he hit the finish line, the crowd began to cheer. They said, "Sir, why did you not just quit?" He said, "I came here to run the race and I wanted to finish the race." Boy, I respect that. He said, "I didn't have to come in first. I just came here to finish the race. I didn't want to quit the race. I wanted to finish the race." I don't know about you, but how about we finish the race? Give it that last little kick. You say, "Well, I've stumbled. I've fallen. I don't have the vip and the vigor that I used to have," but finish the race and finish it well.
Amen.
Can tell you something? Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Maybe we ought to look to the author and finisher of our faith, and maybe we ought to run the race that is set before us. Don't know about you, but I don't want to be sitting on the couch or laying on the side of the race track crying because I stumbled. I'd rather get up and keep on going. I'd rather walk than not do anything. It's not time to, it's not crown wearing days, it's cross bearing days. These aren't days of leisure, these are days of running. These aren't days of harvesting. These are days of sowing, and these are days of hard work. Let's keep on going. Let's run that race. Let's give it a little extra right now, not less. Let's live better lives. Let's live and run harder as a Christian, not lighter. We don't need to give in to culturalism. We need to give in to right and do what God said. Let's run the race that is set before us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I wonder, how well are you running your race? Are you more concerned about somebody else's race than your own? Are you looking at everybody else's race and complaining about them? Maybe that's because you're not running the best you could run.